Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Thank you for your prayers. Everything went well last night, and we were able to present the gospel to a pretty good group of people, pretty good sized group of people. And, you know, today, who knows, it may have been the first time they'd ever heard it. Might be the only time that they hear it. Maybe they've heard the gospel before, and we got to water it last night. But we had an opportunity to preach a little bit and share the gospel, and we hope that that brings forth fruit. And if you prayed for us in that, then you were a part of that, and we thank you. Romans chapter 9, dealing with national election, not individual, dealing with God's work in calling the Jews and his choosing of Jacob over Esau, and how he used Pharaoh. We looked at that last week, how he used Pharaoh for a purpose as well. But we come this morning to verses 19 and 20. Just going to look at these two verses this morning and finish out the chapter this evening, Lord willing. We just have to wait and see what happens. But the Bible says, "Thou wilt say then unto me," well, we'll go back and read 18 for a refresher. "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" Dear Lord, again, we ask for your help. I ask for your help in preaching it, and we all ask for your help in being changed by it. And we just ask that you'd work on us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps nothing is more ridiculous than sinful, finite man with his limited understanding questioning Almighty Creator God. It begs the question, just who do we think we are? Just who do we think we are that we can question God on certain things? Now, it's nothing new. This practice has been around forever, and it will remain until our Lord makes everything new. Now, that isn't to say that we cannot ask God questions. You see, to me, asking a question, and to you, you might not think of it this way or see it this way. In my mind, asking a question and questioning, to me, are two different things. Now, I'm not saying that they are, but I think of asking a question as just that, just asking somebody a question. When I think of questioning someone, I think of calling their motives and who they are into question there. But there is nothing wrong with asking God questions. Absolutely nothing. We should ask God questions because there's a lot we don't know. We looked this morning in the book of James. If any of you lack wisdom, James tells us to ask the Lord. Okay, so there is nothing wrong with asking God questions. You can't read this book and not have questions for Him. There is nothing wrong with, if you're going through a trial, there's something going on in your life and you just don't understand it, you just don't get it. There's nothing wrong with asking God questions about what's going on. We ask Him for help in understanding the Word. We ask Him for help when we're dealing with a situation in life. Lord, I don't know what to do here. Don't know which way to turn. I'm just not sure what to do. God has no problem with us asking Him questions. He tells us to come to Him and to talk to Him and to ask Him. But see, the questioning is something different. Where we sin is where we ask God a question and we demand an answer. Because some things can't be answered. Some things can't be answered because He's infinite and we are not, and there are things we just don't understand. some things it is far better for us to take it by faith than to have everything spelled out in front of us. It is wrong to demand that God answer us. He does not have to fulfill our demands. It is wrong for us to demand an answer in a certain time frame. And it is wrong for us to question God as though He has done something wrong or unjust or unfair. And that's kind of what the Jews were doing when they asked this question. You see, they were claiming that God was doing something that He shouldn't be doing. They were claiming that things just weren't lining up just because they didn't understand it. And it's amazing how many people won't give God a second thought, won't give Him the time of day. They won't seek His counsel in any matter. They do what they want to do. But when they run into a problem, something goes wrong, they want His help, they want answers from Him, or they want to blame Him. Won't pray, won't read His word, won't seek His will, won't seek His guidance, won't try to find out what God wants them to do. But then when something goes wrong, you see, they're not the least bit interested in hearing from Him, but when something goes wrong, now they want help out of their situation, or they want some answers from God, or they want to blame everything on Him. It's just like the son that leaves home, and dad doesn't hear from him, mom and dad don't hear from him for 30 years until he finds himself locked up. Mom and dad have tried to contact him, have tried to give him some guidance, some instruction. He ignored it. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. But now that he's in jail, he wants mom and dad to come get him out. People ignore God every day, but then they want to blame Him when something goes wrong. How many times have we heard someone say in the news after a tragedy, "Where was God?" You've heard that. I've heard that. People say, "Where was God? Well, if there's a God, why did this happen? It happened because of Adam. It happened because of you and I. It happened because man brought sin into the world. It's not because of God." But it's usually an angry question. Where was God, they say? Where was God at? If there's a God, why this? People have been saying that for years. If there's a God, then why do some little children in certain parts of the world go to bed hungry and die of starvation? If there's a God, why the sickness? Why these diseases? If there's a God, why? Read His word. All these things happen because man disobeyed God. And God never promised to fix all of this stuff in this lifetime here on this earth. He'll fix it when He comes back for His millennial reign, but He didn't promise to fix it here. Remember, He said that He did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You know, people, Christmas time, people get that all mixed up. Peace on earth, that's not what the Bible's saying. The Lord didn't come here to make everything peaceful. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that meant the Prince of Peace, His feet were now here on the earth. Goodwill toward men, God, who is good, who didn't have to save us, provided His Son as a sacrifice for us. That's the ultimate show of goodwill toward us. Goodwill toward men. Well, I thought it was all about peace. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We'll have that one day if you're saved. You've got a certain amount of it inside of you right now if you're saved. That peace that passeth all understanding, but you still live in a troubled world. But He'll take care of all that. That's coming. People say, "Where was God? Where was God? Where was God?" I'll tell you where God was. He was where He's always been, in heaven with answers, being ignored and rejected by men. That's where He's always been. But you know, Bible believers never ask that question. People who spend time in prayer and seeking the face of the Lord and trying to do what's right and trying to serve Him and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, those people don't ask, where was God? Where was God? It's angry, lost people or carnal Christians who have been saved but haven't grown in the Lord and don't know His Word. They're the ones that ask that question. You'll never find a Bible-believing Christian who knows the Word and who's trying to live for the Lord. You'll never find that person say, where was God at? Where was God at? Tragedy strikes and then people blame God and then they don't want to. It makes you question what their faith was before tragedy struck. But you don't find Bible believers asking that. The same God who is questioned when tragedy strikes or when someone disagrees with His Word or like the Jews, they see something they don't understand. Oh yeah, well then why this? Oh yeah? Why? The same people who will do that and ask those questions. Or pardon me, the same God who's questioned when someone disagrees with His Word, He's the same one who's watching those people live in sin and live for the lust of their flesh while living as though He does not exist. But then want to turn around and find out, where's He at? Where's He at? The Jews had this question, and the question came out of a complete misunderstanding of what God was trying to do through their nation. And yes, their ignorance was their fault. They had the same... Look, you and I can look at this Bible and see what God... and read what God said to the nation of Israel and read it as plain as day, the same scripture that they had. Okay? Yes, their ignorance was their fault. Right here it was, right in front of them. To be able to know what God was doing with them. To know. You say, well, you know, they didn't know. Of course they knew. The Old Testament's full of believers who trusted the promise of God, the promise of the Messiah, and were saved. Well, if they knew how to do it, then the rest of the nation knew how to do it. They just chose not to do it. How many of you are saved and you have family members or co-workers or friends, you've given them the gospel over and over and over again. They know exactly what you know about being saved. They know how to be saved. You've told them how to be saved, but they reject it. Israel knew, but they rejected. It's not that they didn't have all the truth. That's not in the character of God. God does not hold us accountable for something that He didn't make it possible for us to accomplish. God doesn't hold them accountable for not having faith in Him without telling them how to have faith in Him. But Abraham knew how to have faith in Him. Job knew how to have faith in Him. David knew how to have faith in Him. Even Lot knew how to have faith in Him. But the questions are many. And they simply come from this arrogant, and it is arrogant, this arrogant frame of mind that we could fully understand all the things of God. How arrogant for us to think that. Paul is addressing a question here by asking more questions. He does not directly address this specific question of theirs at this time, but rather he addresses their heart and their mindset in asking such a question. Okay, you don't find, what we find here is he's dealing more with why they're asking this question to start with. That's what Paul's dealing with more than the specific question. Okay, the answer is in Scripture, but Paul is dealing more with why are you asking that? Why do you have this this attitude, this approach about it. That's really what he's dealing with more than anything. So that's what we're going to deal with this morning. You find there in verse 19, you see Paul expects the question. Because he says, thou wilt say then unto me. What Paul's saying is, I know you're going to ask this question. And we understand why Paul says that. Okay? When I'm preparing a sermon, I will come across things that I know, I don't want to say I know because it doesn't always happen, but I've got a pretty good idea somebody might ask a question on that. Okay? I think somebody might ask a question on this. And then sometimes you all ask questions of stuff that I didn't think you'd ask a question about, and then I'm stuck sometimes. But sometimes I'll see something and say, you know what, that's not really common Bible knowledge. You got to kind of dig in. Somebody might have a question about that. Let me make sure I'm prepared. Maybe look over at verse 25. As he saith also in OC. Okay, now how many of you right away think, who is that? You don't have to raise your hand, but you might read that and say, if you don't have a study Bible or cross-reference, you might think, who is that? That's not a name we're familiar with. But does anybody know who it is? It's Hosea. Okay? He's talking about the book of Hosea in verse 25. So I come through and I find things and say, oh, that's not a common word or a common name. Somebody might ask. Better look into that. You anticipate. You know, you hear people say, listen, I know what you're going to say. Or you hear people say, I know what you're thinking. We anticipate. That's what Paul was doing. He's saying, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're going to ask. But it wasn't because of God's word that he knew what they were going to ask. It was because he knew the Jews. One of them. He knew how their mind worked. He knew how their hearts worked. He knew the kind of things they asked. He knew the stumbling blocks. He knew the problems that they made for themselves. So he expected this kind of question. But the question is, why doth he yet find fault? Why doth he yet find fault? The assumption here is that if God's will is carried out through the actions of men, even some evil men like Pharaoh, how could God hold those men accountable? You see, the Jews were kind of thinking like a Calvinist thinks. They could not understand God's will and God's control over the universe and man's free will at the same time. And you know what? I don't understand it either. How could you? How could you totally wrap your mind around that truth that God is in control of the universe? He's carrying out his will. But at the same time, he gives us free will to make decisions. Well, you can't go the route of the Calvinist and say, man doesn't have free will, because that's not what Scripture teaches. And you can't teach that God's not in control, because that's not what Scripture teaches. So the truth of Scripture is, God's in control, and you and I also have free will to make certain choices. And some of those choices affect, sometimes, certain parts of God's will. Others, nothing can alter it. Some, he has chosen to make dependent upon my decision and your decision. That's Bible. And we've been looking at that for the last few weeks. We've been looking at examples of this. That's Bible. Now tell me that's not hard to understand. But we would not be so arrogant as to say, well, if I can't understand it, I'm not going to believe it. Infinite, all-knowing, perfect, pure, almighty, creator God gets it and understands it perfectly. Just because lost, fallen, sinful, finite, wretched man with his limited knowledge can't get it doesn't mean that it isn't so. You know what? You know why a lot of people struggle with things like this? Because a lot of people have a hard time with faith. We talk a lot about faith. We make a big deal out of faith. Our church is even named Faith Baptist Church. But Christians really struggle with real faith when it gets right down to it. Because, you see, we have faith in God, though we've never seen Him, but we can see His creation and we can see one another and we have the conscience that He gave us and His Word and all of these things. But when it comes down to having faith in the truth that God is in control, but at the same time, we're not robots, we have a free will, we don't really have anything. All we can do is say, I don't get it, but it's still true and I believe it. And sometimes that's where we have a problem. We say, but I want to get it. You ever been working on something so hard and you're just so aggravated because you can't figure it out? And you say, I got to figure this out. I got to figure this out. I got to figure this out. And you just will not let it go until you figure it out. And what happens if you can't figure it out? You drive yourself crazy. You just drive yourself nuts trying to figure this thing out. You're going to drive yourself crazy trying to figure out how God can be in control but still give us free will. Okay? The Calvinist is wrong. We're not robots. We're not predestined to salvation. But God is still in control of this universe. If you look at me this morning and say, Pastor, where's that one verse that just perfectly clears it all up and explains it? Church, it's faith. It comes down to this mind can't get it, but this heart can believe it. I might not be able to totally comprehend it here, but my heart is capable of fully believing it and trusting it and having faith that it is true. And whether you and I get it or understand how it could all work or not, God's still in control. So I'll leave it up to Him, won't you? Just leave it up to Him. But Paul is addressing their attitude and asking this question. You know, they want to know, well, you know, if God did this and chose Jacob over Esau before they were even born, then nothing was Jacob's fault, nothing was Esau's fault. And if He hardened the heart of Pharaoh, then nothing was Pharaoh's fault. Now, what did we look at here recently, within the last week or so? What did we look at? Who hardened their heart first? Pharaoh. Scripture says specifically that he hardened his heart. Okay? He made that choice before God did anything. Pharaoh was the one. And so God took a man who wasn't going to listen and was going to harden his heart and said, okay, I'll use you for a specific purpose. I want to be used of God, but not like Pharaoh was used of God. I'd rather be used, you know, the way Moses was used by God and Abraham and Aaron and those. Rather not spend 40 years wandering around in a desert trying to get where I'm supposed to go, but I'd like to be used by someone who has faith in God, like someone who has faith in God. But they could not understand this. How could God hold these men accountable? They said, for who hath resisted His will? For who hath resisted His will? Basically, they're saying what the Calvinist is trying to say. That you don't have any choice in the matter. You don't. You just got to do whatever God says in every single thing. And that's not the truth, but before Paul ever addresses that, he gets down to their attitude of asking the question. It's a misunderstanding of God's will and control and the free will of man. We've already talked about this. We've talked about it this morning. Just because we don't understand how these two truths work in conjunction with one another doesn't mean that they don't. You see, our inability to fully understand anything does not negate the truth. Just because we don't get it doesn't mean it isn't true. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that it isn't true. How many of you could come up, I've used this example before, how many of you could come up here this morning and we get out a whiteboard and give you a marker and eraser and we let you explain to us perfectly in every minute detail how the engine in your car works. Now, a few of you could do it because you're mechanics and you know about that. And some of you would say, you turn the key and it goes vroom. That's about as far as some of us understand, isn't it? And then some of us know a little bit more of the basics, but there's a bunch of stuff we don't know. And then some people could bring an engine out here and take it apart piece by piece, tell us what everything does, put it back together. But if all you know about your car is click, vroom, vroom, you're still getting home today, aren't you? Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that engine doesn't work. Not to offend any teachers, but when I was in school, I was convinced, and still am today, that chemistry is one of the stupidest classes that anybody could take next to algebra. Day one, now chemistry makes more sense to me than algebra does. Okay? Chemistry is more of, yeah, I'm sure you're right, I just don't get it. Algebra is like, you're just making that up. I know you're just making that stuff up. Okay? To a certain point. But I sat in chemistry. I guess it was my sophomore year. I sat in chemistry. And I believe it was the first day. And the chemistry teacher made this kind of comment. Your desktop, the wood that makes up your desktop, is really not solid like you think it is. The molecules are just bumping into one another at such a tight and close rate that it makes it feel solid. And if they slowed down for just a little bit, your pencil would fall through the desk. You know what I said? In my head, huh? And I flunked chemistry because all year I was, huh? Huh? This didn't make any sense. But you know what he was saying is true? He would talk about these chemicals and how they didn't, you can't see a lot. Biology, I got it, man. I did good in biology. I could put my hands on it. I could see how it worked. Chemistry, but it does work. I don't understand it, but it still works. Okay? Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true. And people will approach the gospel that way. When you're out witnessing to people, they'll approach the gospel that way. Well, how could that be that one man could die and then take away this? I don't see how that. Well, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean it isn't true. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it isn't true. I want to take you to a few passages this morning. We'll see how far we get. I don't think we're going to get all of this finished because there's a lot that I want to read in Job that fits, I believe, very perfectly with this, and I don't think we'll get it all read this morning. But I want to take you to a few passages, trying to just strengthening our faith in this area of God being in control, but man having free will, okay? Is God in control of this universe? We'll turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 16, for by Him, talking about Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Christ holds it all together. I'd say He has power over this universe. Wouldn't you? If all things consist in Him, without Him we all fall apart. Okay? Turn back to Psalm 147. You know where the arrogance of man, where he thinks he can understand everything about God, understand this infinite mind of God and not have to take anything by faith, you know where that leads us? It leads us to these false doctrines like Calvinism. Because John Calvin couldn't get it, and instead of just accepting it by faith, he came up with his own explanation and changed Scripture to get that explanation. And said, well, then God's in control of everything, even who gets saved and who doesn't. And He picks that and He chooses that. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. And that's rank heresy. And it all came from John Calvin's inability to say, I don't know how these two things work together, but Scripture says they do, and so I believe it. No one's Christian life has ever come to a screeching halt because they couldn't rectify those two. But if we take it by faith and say, yeah, I see evidence of it everywhere. I see in the Scripture, I see evidence everywhere that God's in control, but man also has choice. I don't know how it works, but I know that it's true. You can take it by faith and move on with your Christian life. Or you can refuse to take it by faith and demand that God give you a perfect understanding of it and just sit in the mud and spin your tires and not get anywhere for the Lord. Look at Psalm 147, excuse me, verses 4 and 5. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Well, then who am I to say, if I can't figure this out, I'm not going to believe it. You see, my understanding would have to be infinite, and only God has infinite understanding. So basically what we're saying is, I need to know everything that God knows. Can't. Only God Himself. Isaiah chapter 40. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, please. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. You can't even understand how much God understands. I like the saying, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God never said, oh, that's right. Oh, I get it. does that not make the smoke just come out of your ears trying to get that? One more. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, look, and knoweth all things. Do you understand that just because he knew who was going to be saved and who wasn't doesn't mean that he chose that or willed that? Foreknowledge is not the same thing as foreordained. Just because you know something's going to happen doesn't mean you caused it to happen. He knoweth all things. Now, some people have called this into question, and they're wrong because they're just not reading it right. But you know where Christ will tell some men, he'll say, I never knew you. I thought he knew all things. Well, he didn't know them, meaning they never got saved. Didn't mean that he didn't know who they were. You know, I've heard a preacher say that, you know, there are certain things that God doesn't know, and he pointed that one out. And say he didn't know these people. And by the way, the preacher that pointed this out, he's right on just about everything else I've heard him on. It's just I disagree with him on this point. Christ wasn't saying, I have no idea who you are. He was talking about salvation. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. That's what he was talking about. As we read in the Psalms that he knew us before he even formed us in the womb. And you weren't saved when he formed you in the womb. So he knew all of us. And then he tells these men, I never knew you. Didn't mean he didn't know who Gary was or whatever. I'm glad I picked a name of someone that doesn't go to church here. Not that he didn't know. No, he said, you never trusted me. You're not one of my sheep. I know my sheep. You're one of the lost. You're not one of my sheep. He knoweth all things. Okay, let me ask you. You believe that? You believe the Bible when it says he knows it all? You believe that he's in charge and he's in control? You believe that there's nothing that God wrings his hands over? Or bites his fingernails over, or paces heaven. You believe there's nothing that causes him to do that? Do you understand that? How that could be? But do you still believe it? Amen. You know why I don't understand it? Because I'm not God. I don't have that infinite knowledge. I don't have that infinite understanding. But I do know and believe that he is and he does, and I can rest in that. I can rest in that. We're not going to get through all of this morning because there's just I don't want to cut anything out, I don't want to cut it short, and I want to spend time there looking at Job, and there's a lot in Job that I want to look at, so we'll get to that tonight. Hey, don't miss that. These passages in Job are so exciting and so good. It's just a wonderful book anyhow. But these passages we're going to look at tonight fit perfectly with what we're talking about here. A good cross-reference. But let's stop there, but close in this way. Let's close in this way. Okay? The Jews had a hard time understanding God's election, what it really was, his choosing. They thought that, you know, when he chose them as a people that they were automatically saved, and that isn't right. And Paul's telling them that all the time. He's already told them that in Romans. He's going to tell them that again in Romans. Chapter 10, he's going to deal with it again. He's already dealt with it. He's going to deal with it again. You're not saved just because you're a Jew. And then he talks about Jacob and Esau and Pharaoh, and then they couldn't understand, you know, how God could be in charge and run things and do things like that, but then man still have free will. Well, then who's resisted him? They couldn't get it. And before he ever even bothers with answering their question, he deals with the attitude of their heart. I want to leave you with two things today. Two things. The first one is this. Sometimes you and I can't get to the answer that we need for the Lord. We can't get to where God wants us to be because we can't get the attitude right. We've got our approach wrong. God has something He wants to teach us. God has something He wants to do for us. God has something, an area in which He wants us to grow. But we can't get there because our attitude is wrong. Our approach is wrong. And Paul's dealing with their attitude first, saying, hey, why are you asking this question? Why are you trying to call God onto the carpet here? Why are you trying to put blame or fault? Why are you trying to dismiss Pharaoh and blame God? Sometimes you and I can't get to the answer. We can't get to where God wants us to be. We can't get over that hurdle because there's another hurdle in front of it that's our attitude. And if you and I would come to the Lord and, Lord, whatever you say, that's it. We'd get over that hurdle and then He'd be able to teach us. The second thing I want to leave you with is this question. What is it that's going on in your life right now? Maybe it's been going on for a while. Maybe it's fairly new. It's just starting up. I don't know. What is it that's going on in your life right now that you just cannot wrap your mind around? You just cannot understand it. It might be a hardship, it might be a trial, it might be something that you're struggling with, it might be, you know, dealing with, it could be anything. What is it that you're faced with right now? And maybe you've been faced with it for a while, but what is it that you're faced with right now that you have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to figure it out? You have tried and tried and tried to understand it. And you just don't know why this is happening. Or you just can't figure out what's going to happen. And you can't do anything more than take the very next step. You can't see down the road. You can't see. Sometimes we kind of see. And sometimes we just see the next step. What is it in your life right now that's going on that you're just having a hard time understanding it? You're having a hard time getting it. Maybe you're having a hard time just seeing that next step. Well, first of all, have you taken it to the Lord in prayer? Have you searched the Scripture for the answer? And if you've taken it to Him in prayer and you've searched the Scripture for the answer, and you've been obedient, if it's one of those things that your finite mind just cannot get a hold of, have you taken it by faith and left it in His hands and said, Lord, I don't get it. I love You. I believe You. I trust You. I don't understand this, but I don't have to. I'm just going to leave it in Your hands. Just going to let You take care of it. And if I need to take another step, You'll show me what that step is and when, and I'll take it. Or are you still wringing your hands, demanding that God show you the whole game plan? You see, it's kind of like watching a football game that's been recorded. The game's over. Okay, you didn't read the paper, you didn't listen, you don't want to know who won. You recorded the game. You didn't turn the news on. You didn't read the paper. You didn't want anybody spoiling it for you who won because you want to sit down and watch it. And then on the way home, your buddy says, man, can you believe the Sox won? And ruins it for you. It's kind of like a ball game. Well, the Sox play baseball, not football, but it's kind of like a ball game. It's over with. The score is settled. The plays have all been played, but you haven't watched it yet. You don't know. And you're sitting down at home and you're watching this ball game, and to you, anything could happen. Anybody could win. It's anybody's ball game. Really, it's not because it's over, but you don't know that. Everybody else that's already seen the game, they know. They know the plays. They know who scored. They know how many points. It's done. You don't. Every pass, every touchdown, or every at-bat, or every shot, or whatever it is, it's all new to you. You don't know. You and I, in this life, in a lot of things, you and I, we're watching the game, we're playing the game. To us, it's all up in the air. We don't know. We don't know who's going to win or who's going to score. There's a lot of things in this life that, well, we just don't know. We got to take it one step at a time. But God's the one. He's like that friend who watched the game when it was live. He already knows. God knows the beginning from the end. He is the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's outside of time. So while he knows before the game even starts who's going to win and who's going to score and who's going to do it, we don't, do we? We don't. He does. He's looking at it from a different perspective than you and I are looking at it. That is, outside of time, all-knowing. We are inside of time. We're trapped inside of this thing, and we don't know everything. So I've got a choice. I've got a choice. Proverbs 3. Yeah, I know. We don't have to read it. We can all quote it. But let's read it. I've got a choice. I can be in the game and demand to know something that I can't know. Who's going to win this game? You don't get to know yet. You got to take it one at bat at a time. Okay? Or I could say, I'll just take it one at bat at a time. Somebody's going to win it. And God already knows. And I can do like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I can trust in the Lord with all of my heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I could do that. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the Jews were doing? They were leaning to their own understanding. You know what John Calvin did? He leaned to his own understanding. You know what you and I do a lot of times? We lean to our own understanding. And when we don't get it, we get mad and aggravated. And God says, faith. I know, and I'm the only one that has to know. You just need to have faith in me. So what is it in your life? Is there a circumstance that but you just, I don't get it, I don't get it, I don't get it, I don't get it. You know what? You probably just need to stop trying to get it. It may be one of those things that right now God has taught you what he's going to teach you, and the next thing he's wanting to teach you is faith and leaning on him and his understanding and trusting in him. And if you will do that and get over that hurdle, then he'll be able to take you to the next point after that. But as long as we demand, no, you got to tell me, you got to tell me, you got to tell me, you're not getting to the end of that track. What is it? I don't know. You know. God knows. God knows, and maybe you don't know, and you need him to show you what it is. There might be something that you've got that attitude about that you don't realize you do, and you need God to reveal it to you this morning and say, hey, son, daughter, you're not leaning on me. You're trying to figure all this out yourself, and you need to lean to me. The Christian life is a life of faith, absolutely. It's not a blind faith. He gives us so many answers. But he can't give us all of them because we can't understand all of them. And the ones that we can't understand, we don't need to. He's made it so that we can understand what we need to understand. And what I can't, I need to quit demanding that I can and leave it in his hands. Maybe there's something in your life that's your struggle. I can't just leave it in his hands. Well, then you won't be victorious over it until you do. You won't have the peace of the Lord until you do. We'll look at this a little bit more tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for so many things. Thank you that you are in charge. You are in control. We don't understand how that works with our free will, but we know it's true. We thank you, Lord. Lord, deal with each and every heart, Lord. Any of us here today that maybe there's a situation that we just don't understand and we're not resting in faith. We're not taking it by faith, but we're trying to figure it all out and leaning to our own understanding. Show us that, convict us of that, and help us to let go of that and just have faith in you and rest and let you take care of it. And we know that if we'll do that, we'll be better for it, we'll be stronger, we'll be drawn closer to you and more like your Son. And that's what we want above all, Lord, is to be more like you so that we can lead others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to pray, pray where you are. Come up front here and pray. If you need